Next Door to Murder, written by Anthea Fraser and read by Jacqueline Tong.
Chapter 1. Max Allardyce came clattering down the basement stairs to the kitchen, kissed his wife, patted the dog and announced, "It looks as if someone's moving in next door." Rona nodded. "So I noticed. Wonder who we'll get this time." The house next door, a four-storey Georgian like their own, had been empty for several months. Its owners lived abroad, and over the years there'd been a succession of tenants, most of whom had taken it for the minimum period of 6 months. Some of them Rona had barely seen during their tenure, some she'd known only to say good morning to, and, very rarely, some they'd had in for drinks. Usually the tenants were couples with school-aged children whose jobs have moved them to the locality, and, intent on finding a place of their own, they'd had neither the time nor the inclination to strike up an acquaintance with temporary neighbours.
"Seen anything of them?" Max inquired, taking out a couple of glasses.
"An elderly man went up the path at one point. If he's the one moving in, it'll be a change from the usual age group. Not that it'll make much difference. I doubt if we'll see much of them." She took the drink he handed her. "Thanks. How did the classes go?" Once a week, Max held art classes in the afternoon for those who couldn't attend in the evenings, mainly housewives and the retired.
"Okay, but it was unpleasantly hot in the studio. The fans are pretty useless. All they do is move the air around. If this weather continues, I'll have to think seriously about air con."
"One problem we don't have here with these thick walls," Rona commented. "It stays cool in the highest temperatures."
"And the lowest," Max said with a laugh. "Thank God for central heating."
He glanced outside.
"The sun's off the garden now.
Let's take our drinks out before I make a start on dinner. I thought we'd have a barbecue while the weather holds." Max was the chef of the family. Rona loathed cooking, and on the evenings he had classes, she existed on takeaways, salads, and visits to the conveniently close Italian restaurant. He slid back the patio door, and she went ahead of him into the small paved garden. After the cool of the kitchen, the air was warm on her bare arms, and she inhaled with pleasure the mixture of scents drifting on it. She loved this small private area with its urns and baskets overflowing with flowers and its small half-hidden statues reminiscent of Italian courtyards. It was surrounded on three sides by a high wall of mellow rose-coloured brick that now, in the evening sunlight, gave back its warmth. Gus, the golden retriever, flopped down on the sun-baked flagstones, his tongue lolling. He seemed resigned to his evening walks becoming later and later, postponed till the heat of the day had abated. Max and Rona strolled in contented silence to the end of the garden, from where they could see that the upstairs windows of the house next door were wide open. "It's been empty quite a while, hasn't it?" Rona commented. "I hope the agents gave it a good clean and airing before anyone moved in."
"If it's an elderly couple, at least we should be spared screaming children in the garden."
He leant against the wall and lifted his face to the sun, eyes closed.
"Why did we spend a fortune on that holiday when the weather's just as good here?"
They'd returned only days earlier from 4 weeks in Greece, longer than they usually took, but Rona's last assignment for Chiltern Life had been a trying one. She'd been subdued for weeks afterwards, hardly surprising in view of what had happened, and Max had felt she needed a complete break. "Because here," she answered lazily, her own head tilted back, "there's no warm sea or golden sand or ouzo or tavernas or..."
He laughed. "Okay, you have a point."
He pushed himself away from the wall.
"I'd better start sorting out the food. I'll give you a shout when I need your input."
She walked back towards the house with him and sank into one of the lounges by the open door. He took her empty glass. "Like a top-up?" "No, thanks. I'll wait for wine with the meal." He disappeared inside and she could hear him moving about, the fridge door opening and shutting, cupboard doors sliding. Gus ambled over and lay at her feet, yawning prodigiously, and she reached down to scratch his ears. She admitted to herself that she'd needed that holiday. So much had changed over the past months. At the time, it had carried her along with it, but the stresses and strains of that last project and the emotions aroused had proved the final straw.